Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of Syosset Public Library. I'm Jen, your host today, and I'm here with the author of a really fascinating and beautiful new book. May I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
Hi, I am Nikki Vandekar, and the book we're here to talk about today is called Ritual. It was sort of inspired by my dad. Actually, it's my at least 10th book on magic. So we were having dinner and he had finished a glass of red wine. And rather than getting a new glass, he was poured the glass of red wine in it. There was still some in there. And so it was like this weird sort of pink situation. And I had a vague memory of, and I didn't even remember the name of the ritual, but I had a vague memory of attending a Jewish celebration in college that involved mixing wines. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about just the different rituals around the world and how there are ways in which we all kind of celebrate the same things seasonally. But in different ways and sometimes in really similar ways. And so that's kind of what inspired this book.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And it's really cool to see the ways in which like all of these global rituals take such unique forms, but also how there is like this sort of, you know, like rhythm to the year and to some of the rituals that kind of coincide in really interesting ways. Before we get too much more into the book itself, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit broadly about your career and your journey to this book, because as you said, you've written a lot of magic books, but you've also written a lot of crafting books too. And as I was reading this book, I was thinking about all the cool ways in which like magic and crafting kind of overlap, because like you're taking raw materials and making something new out of them and like putting your intention into it. So yeah, could you talk about like how your intention led you to this?
that concept of, you know, the craft as crafting is something that I think about a lot. And yeah, so I got my start writing knitting books. I wrote a book called What to Knit When You're Expecting when my kid was born. And that was really fun. And I got in touch with, it was actually published originally in the UK. But my American editor and I just really hit it off, and we did a few other books together. And then she wrote me going, hey, you know, I know you do some editorial work and stuff on the side, you know, along with, you know, writing these knitting books. Do you happen to know anybody? We want to start doing some books on magic and witchy stuff. Do you happen to know anybody? And I was like, as a matter of fact, we'd never discussed this before. And so I wrote my first book on magic for them, Practical Magic. Mm-hmm. Not the movie, not the one that was the movie. It's more like a primer on all things witchy. And I describe it as being for like the witchy curious, which sort of described me at the time. And then since then, my practice has kind of grown along with my books, I guess. And so I write different books depending on like where my focus is right now, and what, you know, the different ways in which my practice is expanding and my knowledge is expanding.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I love that you, oh gosh, like the opportunity was like literally putting it
in. Yeah.
Very lucky. And you know, like I just really like the way, as I said, that like the subjects kind of do work together, and that like the crafting brought you to the craft, you know, and like that is a really lovely kind of verbal, you know, echo that
you out there. Yeah, they really do. And I think of knitting as thread magic, a form of thread magic, where you are particularly if you, you know, work from sort of, they call it, sheep to sweater. So you get a fleece and you clean it yourself, you card it yourself, you spin it yourself, you dye it yourself, and then you knit it up yourself. And I've done that for my sister. I made her an afghan. That is the something out of nothing, you know, to the nth degree. And there, the labor and the intention and the magic that goes into each step of that process is, like, you know, just kind of really what magic for me is all about. And in all of my books, I have rituals and spells, and I think this might frustrate my editors and some of my readers sometimes. I almost never have, like, an incantation, because I feel silly when I do them, which is not for, that is not true of everybody. Incantations are an enormous part of a magical practice. I just feel silly. So I have crafts. I have things to do. I have, like, active things to do with your hands, teas. That for me is, like, in the labor is where the magic comes in.
I do really like that, you know, approach to magic, which is like, yeah, there are these guidelines that you can follow that have worked for other people. But there is also that kind of, like, expansiveness, you know, where you can, like, kind of pick and choose, like, what works for you and, like, what helps you focus your intention, you know, because those things are the same for everybody. And, you know, that applies to, like, cultures the way that it does to individuals. And that kind of brings us to this point. And like, could you talk a little bit about, you know, how in this book, like, how do you define ritual, and, like, what was your research process for, like, accumulating them, you know?
That's a real challenge, because I really wanted a lot of, you know, books on magic historically are very Eurocentric. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to broaden that and, like, look at a number of different cultures. excuse me. But it was hard. It's not my culture, right? Like, I'm from the US. I was an Anglophile, so I know a lot about the Eurocentric stuff, and I'm from Hawaii. Those are what I have. Anything else, I'm just, you know, reading and talking to people. So I honestly just did a lot. I started with a lot of Googling. spring rituals, you know, here. And then you'll get, like, your, you know, your Wikipedia entries and stuff like that. And so, you know, obviously they're not fully reliable. So from there, I would, you know, that helped me kind of get a selection. And so I just made, like, a list, you know, organized by calendar, of all of the various rituals I found, and then kind of did more research from there to narrow them down. You know, some I was like, okay, this doesn't really seem to be a thing, or, oh, this, let's do this instead. I hadn't even figured out about this. And, you know, I was writing it during the pandemic. And there was something about that that was really comforting. For one thing, you know, that was a time when it felt like the whole world was experiencing the same thing in a way that we, you know, don't. And so this book was sort of a reminder that that's sort of always true. You know, we all have the same call, no matter where we live, no matter what our culture is, to celebrate nature.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is really interesting to see the way that that does, like, manifest in all these different cultures. And the role of nature is something that I would, like, love to actually talk a little bit more about, you know, because it occurred to me, like, while I was reading this, you know, that, like, when you, like, we have come to think of, like, humankind and nature as kind of, like, separate entities, or sometimes, like, in conflict, you know,
there's oppositional, like, forces, yeah.
And, like, I love that this book kind of, like, recenters some of that and really, like, humans are part of nature, like, we're not, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, so a number of, not all of the rituals in this book, but the vast majority of them are really old. So they date back to when we actually were in accordance with nature. And, you know, I'm sitting here right now. We have had a solid month of pouring rain every day. Now that does feel like nature is, I'm in combat with nature a little bit. But at the same time, I live in such a rural area that we actually don't have water. We don't have town water. All of our water comes from the sky. We gather it on our roof and it goes into the water tank, and that's our water. So granted, right now our tank is overflowing and there's more than enough, but you know, I'm like, actually, we really need you. We really need this rain. It's, you know, the ground is lush and it, you know, this is where our crops come from. And it's not, you know, I still go to the grocery store. I definitely don't farm, but there's a way in which this is all like every, the things that these rituals were celebrating, you know, the rainy season for one thing was a huge driving force for a lot of the world celebrations around monsoons, you know, the coming of the rain, etc. It's kind of still true. Like, even though we don't live, you know, with as much awareness of that, it still is true that we, you know, rely on the elements to survive. Even if, you know, you turn on your tap and it doesn't, you know, feel like it, it's still true.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that the book like presents a lot of really interesting ways for people to reconnect with nature and maybe lose like that sense of alienation and that sense of like this is something that we're at odds at. What I found really interesting about the rituals is how you say it, like the wide variety of them in terms of like some are a part of your everyday life and involve things that you do every day just as a person moving through the world, like cleaning rituals, you know, mm-hmm. and things that mark meals and things that mark different times of day. And then some of them are like, you know, marked so far out of daily life, and they're the things that happen like annually or some like spiritual tradition or something. And it really is, you know, interesting to me that people use it to like shape their days as well as their like, you know, like the
calendar year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really important. You know, we in America, we have our holidays that similar rituals. I didn't include any of these because everybody knows them. But like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and you know, all of that are very much sort of a way that we mark our lives, you know, the passage of time. And but the daily rituals are something that I think lose a that's where we lose it. That's where we kind of just get caught up in the, you know, the grind. And everybody experiences that. And that's where I think it's really important to try and find those rituals even in the everyday. Because that's what keeps us going. We can't like hang our hats on Christmas or, you know, for me, Halloween, and just like, that's what's going to see me through. We need to do something that's a little more intentional and a little more, I guess, regular, you know?
Yeah. That is so, so interesting to me, you know, because like so much of the language you just use kind of overlap with like the language of mindfulness in some mm-hmm. way.
Very much so.
Like, and mm-hmm. how much intention is really important. And those daily things, like when we're cleaning the sink or we're like, you know, doing the dishes or whatever, like those are the things that we do tend to like check out.
You know. And I'm the worst about that. I'm like, I cannot fold a clothes or a wash a dish without a podcast going. And honestly, like, I was just thinking about this. There's a way in which, like, if you think about washing the dishes, this seems like the most annoying thing. Your back hurts. It's kind of gross. But you are, in fact, cleaning, you know, let's say you've made dinner, which frankly is an incredible act of love and, you know, intention and also of magic and of ritual, right? Like, this is something we do and sit down together and share a meal. So many rituals are around meals. And You know, that, you know, people talk, parenting books talk a lot about how like a family meal, sit down and talk, devices away for dinner is like hugely important for, you know, children's health, for family health, all of that. So, you know, we make an effort to do that, like most people do. And then it's time to wash the dishes, the aftermath. And there's, you know, but there's something pretty great about, I guess I like tidying up. I like closing the ritual is kind of what I think of the dishes as being like, okay, we've done that. I'm going to go do the dishes. Everything now feels settled and we can, you know, either go our separate ways for the evening. Maybe we play a game, maybe we watch a movie, you know, but there's still a sense of completion that I think is really nice.
Wow. Yeah, that is really lovely. And, you know, like it's really empowering in a weird way, you know, to be like, I can take this like task that is like seen by many as like banal or boring,
yeah,
or a waste of time, and like imbue it with meaning. Cause you know, like we can do that.
We can decide to do that.
Yeah. I was also really, you know, to go back to crafting a little bit, like I was super interested too in how so many of the rituals and things like produce physical objects. Like one of the ones that I loved, I think early on, was an egg spell, you know, where you empty it of all the insides and then you use that. And it's something that it is like an object of magic, but also an art object, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just really nice that, like, I think a lot of times too, we see art and magic as being totally separate disciplines, and they are like actually really communication.
They are. There's so much. This is my jam, right? I love crafting something, even things I'm not particularly good at, and making them. And yeah, the egg spell was one of my favorites. And you know, you can, if you find like a nest, you can hollow out the egg or an egg, a kitchen egg, because frequently, like if we find an egg, it's because the birds already come out of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, a discarded nest, and you can kind of, you know, make a branch, and then you have, you know, sort of that, you know, art piece, conversation piece, or whatever. My kid actually did that, and it's in their room, and it's amazing. And you know, I was thinking too, I'm a little hung up on Christmas, so today for some reason, you know, it's not for a while. I hate sending Christmas cards. I've never done it. You get the family photo or what, and I love receiving them. So I don't know why I'm like this, but every time I get them, I'm like, oh, so-and-so, that's so great. And I put it up on my refrigerator and I'm never going to do it. And then this year I did, I sent Christmas cards the first time. I felt like such a grown up, but I painted them. I did some watercolors and I painted them. I am not good at it. And I decided that was fine. And then because it was personal to each, you know, I didn't send a ton. I sent like 12. But so each card, I decided to paint on it was personal for that person, something that they would, you know, enjoy. And I wrote as legibly as I could a note on the inside and I sent it off, and it felt like that's a ritual. The sending of Christmas cards is an American ritual, and one I decided I did want to participate in, but in a way that was more crafty for me.
I do love that. I love that so much. Because like gift giving is also like a ritual too. Like we mark so many holidays with exchange of gifts, and like they do in a way produce magic. They like, you know, because they cement relationships and they keep them going and they like communicate love and all these things. And
gifts are my love language. I like giving them. I like receiving them.
And it is just really nice, I think, that this book does sort of encourage you to like find the magic in your everyday, you know, like it can be about doing these special things that you've never done before. And that's really cool too, because you can learn something like that and expand your perspective and all that. But also like there's meaning in the things that we already do. And if you like shift your perspective just a little bit, like these things really can mean a lot.
Yeah. And I think that can be really hard to do. You know, holding on to that shift of perspective, but it's also really easy to do because that's all that it takes. You don't have to be doing anything any differently. My sponge still smells bad in the kitchen. And I still have to like wash my hands afterward and be like, this is gross. But it can be meaningful if you decide it is. And then it feels a lot better to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It goes from being like obligation to, I don't know, like there being some choice in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any rituals that you either picked up from your research or that, you know, encourage you to change your perspective on things that you were already doing?
So we started, you know, in my household, we started celebrating the pagan Sabbats, you know, your Yule and all of those, you know, as a way to kind of mark the calendar year. And then I didn't really do it, to be honest, because this is what happens. You know, we did it for like a year and then it was like, and then it got down to, hey, Mary and Bullock, and that was it. And you know, we can do better. So actually the writing this book again during pandemic when every day felt the same, and it was very difficult to kind of like feel that, like I used to joke, time doesn't exist anymore. There just isn't time.
Oh, that is so, like there was no ritual during the pandemic. Yeah, just everything led into the next. And
exactly. And it just felt interminable. And what was even the point of, you know, having a ritual, you know, marking the passage of time? And writing this book sort of really helped remind me that that is, you know, always true, whether there's a pandemic or not, and that it's actually really valuable, and that there are ways to, sometimes we fear the passage of time. You know, I'm a mom, my kid's growing up, always like that. But it's also important to be mindful of it, because, you know, I don't want to sort of lose that, like, you know, they change so much, and I want to be present for all of it. And sometimes, you know, having those rituals and marking the passage of time and the changing of the seasons can really help you, you know, remain present for that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about this book. Like, I really enjoyed reading it and thinking about all of the different ways it, you know, gave me new ways to think about my own experience. And I just really can't wait to see like what you do next, and if you write more on this subject or other stuff, because you've written on like a whole bunch of super fascinating topics.
A bunch of things, yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was super fun. And like just a good reminder for me too, because as I say, it does take work. It takes intention.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it is okay if it, like, they can have cycles too. You know, we could like be really into them sometimes, and then if we need to like draw back, you know, like that's
life happens, and you know, okay, maybe I don't have time to do this, you know, this year or this day, and maybe takeout is okay.
Well, again, thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. You too.
Means. All right, listeners, you should pick up Ritual at your favorite library or independent bookstore, wherever you get your books. It's a really lovely book. I didn't even get to talk about the art, but the art is really beautiful too.
It is very pretty.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. It's time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.